Follow Anchor. This is Anna Garrett.
Like, oh, I made it now. Blah, 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 you know.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Hopefully finding enough to hear another episode.
I don't actually know what I'm saying.
Marketing, entertainment, tech, you know, all the fun stuff.
Hello, you. This is Anna Garrett, your host, and welcome to my podcast. Today, I'm going for a little bit of a casual episode, very similar, I would say, to the Real Talk episode, which apparently a lot of you guys loved, and I very much enjoy doing this kind of reflective episodes and just thinking about what were the main things that changed in my life, what are the main updates that I want to share with you and that I want to reflect on. So, without further ado, we're going to go right into what are some of the news. And I guess before we even get into the first official update, I wanted to let you guys know that I'm recording this on a new setup, I would say. It's not a new microphone, not yet, but I am recording this with a boom arm microphone, not microphone, boom arm for my microphone, that's what I mean, by Rode. Rode is a brand that a lot of YouTubers, a lot of very professional sound engineering people use, and I bought this because basically one of the problems that I had with the Blue Yeti, which is the current microphone that I'm using, was that the Blue Yeti is very sensitive and it captures every little bit of sound. And especially for interviews where I don't have as much control because other people, I don't have control over other people, even though I recommend don't touch this, don't make this kind of sound, it kind of doesn't come out as and has such a big, such a great quality as it should because of that. And it was just annoying, honestly. Even though I had a really great microphone, I still feel like the Blue Yeti is a good microphone for its price. That was very annoying. I couldn't even like touch the table without the sound being right on the recording. But hopefully now with this boom arm structure, I'm able to get less of the vibrations from the computer, which were a big problem, and a lot of the vibrations that were coming from the table as well. How expensive was this? It was quite expensive, I can tell you. Like the whole thing probably costed me about 90 euros. I bought it on Amazon, and you know, when you buy something off Amazon, you buy it 90 euros and then you get home and you realize that because you work on a kitchen table and not on a desk, the clamp and clip that comes with the arm doesn't work on your kitchen table because it's not a desk. So that was frustrating as hell. Still trying to see how we're going to compensate on that, but as of now, what I'm using is I'm using the Rode arm right on my coffee table in my living room space because it's still the same room, but I have like the kitchen space and the living room space. Ideally, I would be on the kitchen table because that's where I edit, that's where I play on my computer, that's where I just use my computer, that's my kind of office, that's what I usually say. My table, my kitchen table is like half half studio and half a kitchen table, which is quite interesting and I guess minimalistic. But as things have moved on, I'm feeling more and more the need to get like an actual desk for my work, but I don't really have the space for it, so we'll see. But yeah, the arm is now on my coffee table and I'm doing it sitting on my couch, so you might be able to hear it. Look, yeah, that's my couch right in front of the TV, and it creates kind of problems because I don't have the computer right in front of me. I can check the sound, how it sounds, if it's speaking or not. So let's hope that we go all right, but I mean, this is still the first recording that I'm doing with this, so give me a break, everyone. Give me a break. Or I have to give myself a break, right? And another thing, as I was searching for this extension arm for my microphone, I realized that I'm becoming quite obsessed with gear, which might explain some of my recent purchases. I bought a new Ethernet cable to connect to my console so I can stream better. And yes, I'm going to talk about streaming on this episode, but later on. So stick around if you want to know, or hop on. But yeah, I guess I always was obsessed with gear. Like every stage of my life, I was obsessed with buying gear for something. Once it was for football practice, later on with me and guitars, having all the gear for guitars. And I guess right now it's having all the video gear, streaming gear, podcast gear. Really, really love it. Love searching for it. Love seeing all the reviews and thinking what I'm going to buy. But I need more money to be able to invest in all this stuff. And I have to keep myself rational and thinking, do I really need this? Is this the priority right now in terms of what I want to do? Because I mean, you have the money to buy things, but you shouldn't, you know. That's what I mean. And the idea currently is that later on, so you can kind of get like a whole idea of the setup. So right now, like I said, there's the Blue Yeti with the boom arm structure. And I want to get another structure like this one so I can have one for my guests. So the guests would have a structure for themselves as well. So they would have the microphone right next to, very near to their mouth. So, because that's the sound that we want to capture. That's the sound that will be richer if we put it right there. And then change the mics one by one, get a new mic, like replace the Yeti and get a new mic for my guest. But that will be gradual. So what I did was buying the boom arm, keeping the Blue Yeti. Later on, I guess I will buy another microphone, the new microphone, and then later on buy the other boom arm and probably have the Blue Yeti as the secondary microphone for the other person, and eventually like get the same, like two of the same microphone brands, because I mean that would capture like a very similar sound from me and my guest. And then there's a lot of other gear that I want to buy, but let's not get into that because it's related to streaming, and I want to talk about streaming later. So that was actually like extra news, extra things that, because I usually plan out what I'm going to say for the episode, like the main topics, and I actually wasn't going to talk about that, but glad I did, because that's a very important update as well. But the first actual thing that I wanted to share with you was that I was invited to speak at an event. And maybe some of you saw this on my Instagram stories. I was invited by NAMI, which is the Marketing Students Association from ISCTE, which I was part of when I was studying at ISCTE. And it was an event managed by the Students Association with help from NAMI and other student organizations that are living inside ISCTE. And yeah, I was invited. I was invited maybe 2 weeks ago. I didn't want to make a big deal out of it because it really wasn't such a big deal. You know, it was a small event. I wasn't invited individually. I was invited to be part of a panel that we were going to discuss, and that we did discuss how the job market has changed, how important it is to do something else besides studying, to be prepared and to find the job that you want, and how the new generation, especially, you know, the millennials are changing the workplace and everything. So those were like kind of the main topics that we were getting on. And yeah, I was invited. I obviously said yes. I was super excited, as you can imagine. Some of the people that might have seen like very old episode that I did, in which I was kind of explaining my vision for what I wanted to do in my life. And one of the things that I said was that I wanted to be invited to speak at events that people will recognize my value enough to ask me to speak to a group of people, to share my knowledge, and that people will actually come to see me. So that is a major milestone, that just being able to be invited for something. And I kind of gave the little shout out, in Portuguese people would say a dica, to other organizations in ISCTE, such as ISCTE Junior Consulting, which I was also part of, and IBS Career Services, to kind of invite me too, because I wanna give back to the community. And for me, being invited for these events, not just to talk, but being invited to be part of the event. For example, I joined to be a mentor for ISCTE Junior Consulting, and to me, why did I say yes? I said yes because I'm always interested in meeting interesting people. And usually in those organizations and in those events, I'm able to find people that I can relate to and that I can learn from, and also share my own stories and knowledge. And also because it's a great way to get new listeners over to my podcast, and just followers in general of my journey and all my other channels. So I want to be more involved in those events. I like when I was in the second year of uni, I was going to like at least like one conference a month, which I did learn a lot. I met a lot of people, but later on I started understanding like a lot of the conferences, you would see the same kind of people like looking for something and not actually doing anything, just looking for someone to wake them up. And that's not really how it happens. And you would see the same topics all over again. So I kind of did like a reset on all the conferences. I stopped going to like a lot of conferences, mainly also because I went to the UK and I was away for a year. And then now that I'm back, you know, most of the conferences, a lot of times I can't go because I'm working. But I'm still trying to make time and trying to get into kind of the circle again, trying to teach the Facebook algorithm to recommend me that kind of stuff again. But yeah, for me, it was an honor, really. I loved to be part of it. Honestly, there were just 5 people in the audience. And hold, let's dig this down. Why were there only 5 people in the audience? You can say that I suck and that people don't actually want to see me or any of the other guests. But mainly, I think it goes down to the reason that the people that were organizing and stuff, the event was basically just announced on the previous day at night, and then the event was the next day at 11 a.m. So there was really not much you can do. I shared the event right after, but I didn't really have time also to share it with my own audience to see if people would come to see it. So I think that was the main problem. But still, for me, just having people there, it was super cool. And I really enjoyed the debate that we had over it, over these topics. And I learned a lot also on that day. So that's the main thing. And I guess the invitation season is open, and I would love to share more with other people. And, you know, for you who is listening to this podcast episode and to my podcast just in general, I'll make sure to let you know. Another thing that's mostly happening that is new is that I've been playing more video games. So I believe I've shared with you that a lot of the TV shows that I was watching, I finished them. At the moment, I'm only watching Gilmore Girls, and I watch it like very casually. I'm not even paying attention to every little detail. Like, I might be cooking at the same time or working on my computer, which is interesting because just a few weeks ago, I told Danielle that I thought it was crazy that she was watching a TV show and not caring about the whole plot and paying attention to every little detail. But here I am doing that with Gilmore Girls. I guess because for Gilmore Girls, I'm not feeling like super addicted to it, and I don't think it's a very complex TV show for me to understand. I still very much enjoy the characters, and I really like the humor in it. It's really my style. It's very lighthearted, and I like that. That's good for me right now. But yeah, and also one of my resolutions for this year, I said, watch less TV and play more video games. So that's what I've been doing. I've been playing more video games. I was playing Final Fantasy 15. As you know, that was the first game that I was playing on my own Xbox here at home. Still very, like, maybe halfway through the game, but I have been playing. I have been streaming some of it. But now I've just this weekend I bought The Sims 4 Cats and Dogs expansion, which I'm not proud of. Every time I quit playing The Sims, I'm like, never gonna play this again. I'm tired of this game. I spent like a couple of hours on it very intensively in the first days, and then I never played again. Why I'm still buying this game again. I waste so much money on it, and it's the same thing over and over again. But then you leave a few months. In this case, I checked on my Origin account. The last time that I played The Sims was in May 2017, so back when I was still in Southampton. And then I bought it now because I was just thinking, I need a game. I need something to keep my mind off bad things and keep myself occupied. So I'm gonna buy something, and I haven't tried the new The Sims expansion. Maybe it would be cool to stream The Sims. I've noticed that on Mixer, people haven't been playing The Sims as much. I could be playing and streaming, and yeah, I just love The Sims, so why not? So I bought the expansion, and I especially bought it, I guess, because it was half the price. So I bought it for around 20 euros, which is not bad at all. But still, like, I'm not even sure right now if I want to play it anymore. I mean, I will, because I'm going to be streaming it, and I still want to explore some of the things in the game. But I don't feel like it's money well spent, maybe. But the main game that's keeping me very excited right now and that I want to share with you is Sea of Thieves. Keep in mind that Sea of Thieves is a game by Rare Studios that are part of Microsoft, and they are a Microsoft exclusive. So this is a game that is exclusive for Xbox One and for people with a Windows 10 PC. And I work for Xbox, so, you know. But this game came out on Tuesday, the 20th of April. And for me, this game is special. And I've said this before, I believe. This game is special for me because it's the first Xbox game that I have been part of as someone from working for Xbox. So when I arrived at Microsoft in September, then Forza came out in October, or was it late September? Not sure, but around that time. And then Super Lucky's Tale. But I was still kind of learning a lot about it, and I wasn't like understanding the whole build-up that would come for the game. Wasn't really sure about the game. Was it big? Was it not? Was it my style? How am I going to promote this game? Those weren't really questions that were on my mind at the moment, because I was still trying to learn everything and answer everyone. Every email at the time was totally crazy. So this is really the first Xbox title that I was able to understand, kind of, not since the beginning, because the game has had a very big development period, but since like the marketing promotion around it, I would say. And I ended up buying the Sea of Thieves special edition controller, which is like, I would say, like one of the most beautiful Xbox controllers to date. And some people agree with this, and is actually, you see a lot of people buying it, so I'm guessing it's doing really well in terms of sales. But I was very proud to buy it. It's my second controller. I don't think I'm gonna buy any more controllers, because I don't even have other people around to play with, let alone like having three or four people to play with me on Xbox. But yeah, I bought that one, and now I have the game as well, and I tried it out. I mean, I was very excited about the game, and I had very high expectations for it, but still, I think it blew my expectations. Let me tell you why. Now, if you don't know Sea of Thieves is a multiplayer online game. It's not a battle royale like PUBG or Fortnite. Everyone's going crazy over those. But Sea of Thieves is a game where you're a pirate and you have a ship, and you have a ship with your friends, maximum like four people crew on a ship. And you go out and you go discover treasures, you shoot against other pirates, shoot against other ships, rave their ships, and discover other kinds of cool stuff in the islands and everything. And I think the main things that surprised me about this game is just how simple it is, but yet complicated. It's like, I've heard a few people talking about the game, and I think it sums up very well. Sea of Thieves doesn't tell you what to do. The game doesn't tell you, like, go over here. No, you enter the game and it's just pure exploration. And part of the fun around the game is just figuring out what to do. You kind of imagine, oh, wait, there's a chicken here. Can I take this chicken back to the island and sell it? And those are things that come up in your mind, and you're not even sure if that's actual gameplay. But hey, if it's not, you just thought about a super cool thing that you could do, and that might exist or might not. And then you're constantly finding out about new things about the game and imagining what the game could do. That's very, very entertaining. And just the whole cooperation with the teams. I was playing the game with a friend from Microsoft, and we had our ad sets on, like, obviously, because otherwise I think it's pretty much insane to play Sea of Thieves without a microphone and a headset to listen to everyone, because it really goes down to communication, because you have to communicate, okay, are we going off the ship or not? Should we sail this direction or the other direction? Because it really needs teamwork. The boat doesn't start going forward if you don't have someone like handling where you want to go, if you want to go left, if you want to go right, and doesn't go if you have the anchor on. If you don't remove the anchor, it won't go. So there's a couple of things that you have to manage as a team, as a crew, to make sure that you succeed in your mission as a pirate, I would say. So I've only played like 3 hours, but I just had so much fun over it, and I really want to get down to it again. And I can tell you, after I record this podcast today, Thursday, I'm recording this after dinner, and I'm going to publish it right away. And then after it, I'm going to go straight into Sea of Thieves. I can guarantee you that, because I'm really enjoying the game. I have a lot of friends that are playing it as well, so I can't wait to experience this game with different kinds of people, with different ways of running, and learning from them as well, like having someone more experienced in the game who has played the beta and everything, just teach you about the game. That sounds very exciting to me. But yeah, I've just been getting more and more into gaming, and instead of TV shows, because TV shows, although very much love TV shows, love being involved in a TV show, like searching images, checking out quotes, seeing the actors in interviews, most of my activities as someone who consumes TV shows is just me lying down in my couch, and then I fall asleep in the couch, which is not good for me, because then I wanna keep napping on the couch, and it's bad for my health, bad for my back. So it ends up being kind of very routine activity and very passive, and games are require more of me. And I just think it's cool to be experiencing different kinds of entertainment. And I guess especially for my job, it's very important for me to be very connected with the gaming community again. And I am, I was saying to my friend that I feel like I'm Diana Guerra when I was 13 years old again, when I was complaining in video game forums and stuff and discussing the new games. And it's crazy to think how life changes, but it just goes back to the same thing as well. So we'll see. Play with me. Join me on Sea of Thieves. Now, the thing that most of you are probably here for, you want to hear me talk about streaming and what's this whole thing about. So streaming, and I guess some of the listeners here might not be aware of what streaming means. Streaming, in my context of gaming, streaming is when someone is playing a video game and you're sharing you playing a video game with someone else and you're doing it live. So it's live streaming. And it's a very big industry. Like, you probably wouldn't believe, just last week, one of the top Twitch streamers who invited Drake to come and be on his stream and play video games with him, like something like that. So it's a pretty big thing. A lot of famous people are getting into it, whether it's with gaming or just live streaming in general. For example, Casey Neistat just opened a Twitch channel. And now, what is Twitch? I've spoke to some people who don't know what Twitch is, and I'm always like, what? But Twitch is the main gaming live stream platform. But they do have other categories that are not related to gaming. So like cooking. So you would see people just live streaming their cooking lessons, or just them eating. Or you could have, like, I saw very cool ones with drawing, so people who are just, they draw but they live stream what they're drawing, and they kind of explain a little bit of the technique, and you get to see all of that live, which for me was very relaxing to see as well, because it's just very chill, like music playing and someone is drawing. I don't know, I just think it's cool. Many of you are probably thinking, what a nerd. But I'm fine with being a nerd. Live streaming started to become very big, and especially game streaming. So it's actually a problem in the industry, because a lot of the younger kids, they were kind of brought up in this new ecosystem of gaming live streaming. And they just, some of them, they're like, why am I going to buy a game when I can just see other people playing this game? So we'll see how that goes. But like, a lot of money is being brought to the industry because of live streaming as well, and the whole connection with esports, which is very, very interesting. And I still have so much to learn, I can tell you that. But yeah, basically, because of my job as someone who's working for Xbox, I had to understand live streaming, and I had to get myself into live streaming. So one of the projects that I was working on was the Gamer Scorers project. So I brought up the major Portuguese Gamer Scorers for Xbox Live, and they were competing against each other, and we were live streaming that in our office. Now, I had never done a live stream before. Not gaming live stream or any kind of live stream, never done anything live. And Xbox Portugal had never done a gaming live stream either. So it was a big step, but I knew I challenged myself to do it because I knew that clearly this was the right way and that we should invest on. This is the kind of content that the people who follow Xbox and who follow Xbox Portugal want. So that would be a very good way to bring local content to the audience. So I knew I wanted to do it. I knew it would be a very big challenge, but I knew that if I went with it, I would learn things along the way and I would come up better on the other end of it. So everything ended up going fine and I learned so much. I can tell you that I like so much about the way live streaming works, the platforms, the gear that goes into it, the things that you have to think about when you're live streaming. Those are all things that you can debate over and over again, but until you actually do it, until you're a practitioner, you will never know. And that's something that all through my life, I was more on the spectator side of it, but in the more, especially in the last year, I've been trying to be more on the action side of it. And I feel like I've learned so much and I've grown so much because of it. So I'm going to keep doing it because that's really how people succeed. You can talk a lot about things and you can debate, but unless you're doing something, unless you're showing something, you will never grow and you will never understand things. It's really like learning by doing. It sounds cliche, but it really is. And I had to be prepared. I did the live streaming and along the way, I've realized that I actually enjoyed live streaming. And I guess what I enjoy more is trying to crack how live streaming works, trying to hack it, trying to be good at it and understand how things work. That's the thing that mostly excites me about live streaming and that I want to do more. Now, I guess some of you are probably wondering, Anna, what does this mean? Are you going to become like a real live streamer? Is this something that you want to invest on and that you want to be part of your personal brand? And the answer, guys, is I'm not sure. And I can tell you I'm not sure because like I said, I'm very excited about live streaming right now because I'm learning a lot about it. The actual play part of it, it depends very much on the game, whether I'm into that game or not. Because, for example, live streaming with Final Fantasy, well, it's a game that doesn't make a lot of sense to be live streaming, but it was cool for me because I was playing, but I had some company while playing it. Because if you know Final Fantasy, you waste a lot of time just going on the road, walking, or being on a car, going. So it was cool for me to have company. In the case of The Sims 4, it's kind of a new way to be experimenting the game because I'm very much into it, but like having people comment on, oh, this is cool. Why did you do that? What does that character mean? Those kinds of things are cool. And then with Sea of Thieves, it's just like having a blast. And it's just a game that even if I wasn't live streaming, I would be loving it, honestly. I played Tuesday and I didn't live stream any of it. And today I'm going to play and I'm not going to be live streaming it yet. But I don't know, I'm still tiptoeing, like I said, about in live streaming and experimenting most of all, but having a lot of fun along the way. And I've told you, I'm not as worried about doing things just because there's that end goal of it, but just enjoying the ride, enjoying the process. And I know, and especially because it's my job now to know about these things. So at least even if I end up not doing something about it, it's definitely been worth it in a career perspective. But we'll see. And I guess I will leave you with, if you want to see me live streaming, go over to mixer.com/AnnaRLGuerra. And you're wondering, what is Mixer? Mixer is the competition of Twitch. Now, Mixer is it's Microsoft's game streaming platform. That one of the advantages is that it is integrated within Xbox. So if you're not into a live streaming, you could be just randomly going through all the tabs on your Xbox and suddenly, whoa, there is a mixer right there and you start watching some random people. So that's one of the biggest advantages. And Mixer just makes it a whole lot easier for you to stream from console, which is something that I could spend like a lot of time speaking about this, because there's console streaming, there's PC streaming, and they're very different, and the way you connect things are different. And I still don't have all the equipment to do any of those in the way I wanted to, but I don't want to get too much into it because I feel like most of you are not gamers and might not be interested in that, but just keep that in mind, y'all. Keep that in mind. And guys, this was it for today. I'm really glad that you sticked around. I haven't checked, but kind of have this intuition that this episode's gonna be quite long, especially for like a reflective episode. But still, I'm really glad that you sticked around. I hope that you enjoyed it. If you want to share some of your own this recent discoveries, I would be very much into knowing about that. If you want to talk about gear of live streaming, podcasting, hit me up. I would very much be into that kind of discussion. And I guess talking about streaming, if you have any tips or any comments, any like cool ideas that you would like to see in streaming, and especially in game live streaming, let me know, because I think there's so much opportunity and so many new things that can be tried out on gaming live stream that we haven't seen before. But I could also write an article about it, of some of the ideas that I have. But hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Just hit me up on Twitter, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. You know what the URL usernames are. It's NRLGera. Just, I'll see you there. And thank you so much for listening. Bye.